Christine and Brian Stanton lived on Manhattan Island on 9/11 when the towers were hit. And this week I was reading, in light of that anniversary of that particular tragic moment in our history, I was reading their story, and it was intriguing because they had what appeared to be the beautiful, amazing New York kind of lifestyle. They both had amazing jobs. They both had fabulous careers. They were focused on their own world. They went to church every Sunday. They had all the things that you would, the trappings you'd put together to make it look like that everything was in line for their life story. The only challenge was they didn't anticipate what they were going to encounter on that particular day. So living right near the World Trade Center, they watched as the planes hit and watched what transpired, and they were on the 24th floor of their particular apartment condo project when they looked on their balcony and they watched what was transpiring, and you can imagine what in their minds they were thinking. So they quickly got downstairs to the ground level, and Christine looked at her husband and said, "Do you think we're going to die today?" And the husband began to recite the Lord's Prayer. And you can imagine the challenge of that particular moment for them, because it was interesting what Christine said. Christine stated this in her story that I read this week. "Up until 9/11, I did everything that you're supposed to do. I went to church. I listened to the sermon. I sang the songs. I did all those things." But she said, "Something happened on that day because I realized something. I had never internalized what it was I was hearing. I had never let my identity rest in Jesus. I'd never changed the focus of my life because I was just living out what I knew everyone else expected me to live." And then 9/11 hit. And when 9/11 hit, it changed this entire trajectory of their lives, because all of a sudden Christine realized something, that she, what mattered in life was not what she had put all her stock in, and she had based her life on being a tour guide, guiding people around New York City. She quit her job that week and eventually became a director of missions for her church. She changed the focus completely of her life because she started understanding what mattered. Her husband was a successful financial guy, and he gave up his career to end up being the chief financial officer for the church that they were a part of. And so when I read their story, I thought, isn't it amazing and isn't it interesting that what transpired was they finally came to a place where they saw their challenges, they saw the things that they were facing, and they arrived at what matters in life. And today, we have a chance to be able to trust the Lord beyond our challenges, trust Him beyond our circumstances, and be able to experience what He has for our lives. So we find ourselves in Romans chapter 8. And if you're opening that text, well, I don't want you to think about what Christine said that was most powerful. For the first time in her life, she internalized what she was hearing. In other words, she owned it. She took possession of it, and it became her story. And here's what I want you to see. When you get to Romans chapter 8, you have to arrive at a place of understanding what these challenges are all about, how they affect us, what they do, and start trusting beyond the challenges you have to a God who works through all things. And what you're going to see today is I want you to see five very distinctive words that stand out as focal points of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, but I also want you to see five questions I want you to ask yourself. Because here's what I want to challenge you to do before we take communion today. I want you to think about what happens if you internalize what you hear. Another, it becomes a part of who you are. All right? And so in Romans chapter 8, we find, beginning, if you would, at verse 18, I want you to look at that, and I want you to think about this as we look at this text. Think about this question, because this is really the basis of what we're going to be looking at today. How do you deal with your challenges? In other words, how do you deal with the things that come at you? Because we all have those different challenges that come our way, that get the best of us, that challenge us, and can overwhelm us if we're not careful, because we all have to be careful not to identify in our challenges, but identify in the one who helps us overcome our challenges. And so if we are facing challenges, facing issues, facing circumstances, then all of a sudden we begin to see that there's someone with us, someone watching over us, which is exactly what Paul does in Romans chapter 8. What he does here is he helps people see something. At your most distinctive, painful, challenging moment, in that moment, he can still work it all for his good. and for your good. So look, if you would, at verse 18, Romans chapter 8. I want you to see just two verses of Scripture today that stand out. In fact, two or three, because I want you to see verse 26 through 28 as well. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, notice what he says. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now stop there and think about this for a second. What if we walk through these different aspects of our lives and say, you know, wait a minute now. So all that ultimately will bring more glory to God, which is ultimately what we live for, because the Bible says it makes it very clear that whatever we do in word or deed, we do all the glory of God. What if I internalize that thought and say, you know, wait a minute. So what I'm going through, this pain I'm going through, this challenge I'm going through, this difficulty I'm going through, it does not have to be my identity. It can be my inspiration. And that's exactly what Paul's trying to do, because here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to inspire the people as they read his letter, that if you look at your challenges the right way, you can have the most amazing life, which is exactly why we find ourselves in verse 26. Look at it with me, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, here's where you get to his climactic focal point that I don't want you to miss. Look at verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, when you read that, you realize something, that Paul summarizes by way of thought what should happen to every challenge we face, because he says all things work together for good to those who are called according to what? It's to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. All right? So I want you to see this in light of a preparation for today, because what Christine's story says to you and me is this. It is possible for us to hear something and never own it. It is possible for us to read something and never act on it. We can read all kinds of things and not actually let it affect who we are. But what you discover with God's Word is you look at this, you realize something. What Paul's trying to say is this. If you internalize this and you let this become your story, then you're going to look at things completely different than you did before. So the first key word is all. You'll notice in verse 28 it says all things work together. All things work together. Now, a couple of things about this that's key. Because what you discover is when he talks about this working together, that is where we, in our language, get the word synergy. So which means that everything lines up in a particular way to accomplish a particular thing. And the more synergy we have, the more effective we are, because what happens is our good and challenging and our blessed and wonderful moments all merge together for us to become who he wants us to be. So think about it for a second. What if you balanced out the checkbook of your life and you balanced out the good things with the bad things, the challenging things with the amazing things, and you balance all those out, and here's what you discover. His math always works. He says all things work together. They all do. So think about this word. And here's the question you have to ask yourself. What will we face in life? Because we all face different things. We all face different challenges. And I can remember so vividly when I was a little boy, one of the things that was quite challenging in our world was the environment that I lived in. And I can remember vividly realizing that there were places I could go that all things would work together for good. And one of the places that was most evident was the Lord's house. So whenever I went to church, there was something different about that. It's interesting, by the way, because the other place that I would go that really always seemed to be good for me was the Boys Club. And when I was a kid growing up, we had an amazing Boys Club right within about a half a mile of my house. So I could ride my bike to that Boys Club, and I could always be around people who were encouraging and uplifting. And so I can remember as a kid, between those two things, the cool thing about it is between my house and the church and my house and the Boys Club, there was a Kmart. And during that time, some of you may not remember Kmart because it's been gone a while, but the truth is during that time, you could go to Kmart and you get a foot-long sub sandwich for 50 cents. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, foot-long with everything. And I can remember I would pull up there on my bicycle, park my bike outside, and I'd walk in. I'd go to the same place every time. I'd say, I'll take a bag of popcorn, which is 10 cent, and I'll take a foot-long sub with everything on it for 50 cents. And back then, by the way, tax was a lot cheaper, too. It was like 61 cent total. So, you know, I gave everything that I had there, and I can remember thinking, this is the life. I mean, this is as good as it gets. I mean, I'd grown up in a really, really hard environment, and my dad was drunk all the time, and we didn't have a lot of good family social time. My parents screamed at each other all the time, and Kmart was awesome because I would get a sub, and I would get there, and I would think, man, I'd sit at Kmart, and they had a little bar thing. You could sit there and kind of eat your sub, and I would eat my sub and then get a bite of popcorn, and then I, if I needed to, I could also get a 10-cent Coke. You know, I can remember all these things so vividly, even the price of them, because they reminded me of those good things that God had for me that were beyond what I could imagine. So when Paul writes to the Romans, he makes it clear, there are a lot of things you're going to go through. You're going to face some things. I mean, imagine this. Wouldn't you like to eliminate like two or three things you faced in life? I mean, wouldn't you like to say, well, I think I'll pass on that. I mean, I think about my own life. I'd passed on growing up in an alcoholic home. I'd passed on my heart not behaving, having to get it cut open. I'd passed on cancer. I'd pass on those three quickly. What about you? I mean, are there some challenges you'd pass on? I mean, some things you go, you know, I don't think I'd really like to go through that again. Or maybe if I didn't have to go through it at all, I'd just bypass that. The truth is that we face a lot of things. And what I want you to think about today is, what do you face and why do you respond the way you do? Because here's what you're going to see today. Paul teaches so clearly that what you face and what you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. You can let him be with you. So the second word that he uses is the word good. All right? It says, all things will work together for good. All right? So think about it for a second. This promise is something that you and I can grab hold of and hang on to. What he will do for us, what will he do? He will do something good. And I can tell you, for me personally, he did lots of good things. I can remember so many different moments through the span of life as God started doing good things. Gave me a chance to be able to be involved in kingdom work very young. Gave me a chance as a kid to meet some people who actually had faith and who were genuine. And they, even a couple weeks ago, we had a men's group fellowship to guys with my small group, Calvary group. We were talking about somebody who stood out with integrity and character. And I can remember back in my childhood, somebody who stood out that way. And so all these things, they have a chance to turn into good, because it's interesting, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. The goodness of God is what lets us go, you know what? I don't have to get stuck, caught up, and hung up on everything that I face in life. I can just let his goodness rest on me. And I'm going to tell you, when that happened, it is powerful and meaningful and genuine, because all of a sudden you start saying, wait a minute now. So all things work together for good, which, by the way, this is not a promise you won't face things that are challenging. What he's saying is that all these things together, what comes at you that you don't like, what comes towards you that you do like, they all line up into something profound and powerful and meaningful, because God is at work in all those things. He causes all things to work together for good. So wouldn't it be amazing if you internalize that thought today and say, you know what? Here's what I get out of this. I need to quit looking for the bad side of every circumstance and start looking for the good side. I need to be able to let go of what it is that causes me to focus in on the half-empty glass and see the glass half full, because God has given me enough to nourish me through whatever it is I'm facing in life. So imagine today, as you think about your own story, all things, what we'll face in life, work together for good. And those are that's the promise of what he's going to do for us. Now go on, look at the third word, because to those who love God, all right, look at that where he says that. For those who love God. Now, when you get there, here's where it becomes more challenging, because here's what he's saying. What we must do in order to experience what he intends is choose to love him. And by the way, if the love is not internalized, it's not powerful, it's not impactful. Case in point, you ever had someone say to you, man, I really love you? And the reality is that you know when the words are spoken, there's no power behind those words, because they're not evidenced. They're not evidenced by the goodness of that person, the love of that person, the commitment of that person. And so you go, wait a minute now, I'm not sure that really is the kind of love that I want to experience. And then all of a sudden, you start realizing that the criteria that leads you and me to understand and face the challenges of life is to understand how much He loves us and what we must do in loving Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And so I want you to think about it for a second. I mean, think about it just for a moment. We face a lot of things. We encounter a lot of things that come our way. But what do? We choose to see what He will do in our lives, that He will be good to us. And I don't know if you're like me. When I was a kid growing up, my parents were saying, now, if you'll be good, we will. And it was a very qualified, we will. And I can remember thinking, we're never going to do that because none of us are going to be good enough to actually get to that point. And so what happens is that as you look at Romans 8:28, he says, now, here's what happened. These things work together for good to those who choose to love Him. And I'm going to tell you what's powerful. The difference between verbal assent, saying, you know, hey, I love you, and actual commitment is the profound difference that we feel in our own hearts when we realize that He loves us and we can love Him. And I'm going to tell you what's amazing about it. When we allow His love to be the central focus of our life, when we choose to love Him, I mean, when He says it, that you, as you love Him, these things are going to work out to your good. So think about this. All things work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called. And here he gets down to even more in-depth thought, because here's the fifth question he asked. Those who are called have to do with how we respond when the actual phone rings in our heart. Now, I want you to think about this. The difference between a call from God and a robocall. All right? Now, think about the difference. When you get a robocall, here's what happens. There's a pause on that line. And you realize when the pause occurs, what is it? It is not genuine. It's not real. It's not what you want. So what do you do oftentimes when you get a robocall? Hang it up, don't you? You hang it up because you know if you get in a conversation with them, it's going to be bad. The first thing they may say is, well, we need to confirm your Social Security so you can get a $10 million gift back from the government. And believe it or not, people actually say, well, my number is da-da-da-da-da. Or another call comes through, you know, your credit, you owe so much money. You need that debt reduced. We're going to reduce your debt in half, cut your interest in half, and we're going to give you everything you need. All we need is your address and your birthday. Well, believe it or not, people sometimes take those robocalls and they think they're good. They think someone is there for them. And the reality is, listen, there's not a robocall ever been created in the history of America that's going to get you where you're supposed to go. All right? Put that down on your book. Because what's going to happen is someone's going to chase you down a trail that always leads to a dead end. But if the phone rings and it's your mom or your dad or your family member or someone you love or a friend that cares about you or someone who's connected to you, you pick that phone up and immediately respond. Why? Because you know love is on the other end. Love is on the other end of that call, and you grab hold of that call and say, you know what? This call is worthwhile. So when Paul says that those who are called according to His purpose, called, what he's trying to say is, when God begins to work inside of our lives and we start understanding the challenge we're going to face in life, here's what he said. When you're called by Him, He'll be there when you face your big challenges of life. He'll be there to help you. He'll be there to speak into your heart. He'll be there to guide your life. He'll be there to meet your need. All you have to do, watch this, answer the call. So if He comes at you, some situation comes at you and you're going through difficulty, how do you answer the call? This book is the best phone book you'll ever get. Because this book not only gives you the number, but it also gives you the answer. And so you begin to center yourself inside of this book. And this book is His written revelation to us. In other words, it's when He gives us instructions to be able to live our lives the way He intends for us to live. And it becomes a part of our story, becomes a part of our heart. And when His word becomes a part of our heart, something happens inside of who we are. And we get this calling. We get this call from God. And when He says here that they're called according to one thing, and that has to do with how we will respond, That's the question we have to ask in order to experience his purpose. And when you think about purpose, that's the deeper side of how our lives are unfolding. Because if you'll notice there, he makes it clear according to his purpose. And here's where discernment becomes a part and the question we have to ask. How do you discern it? How do you know what it is he wants to do in your life? And I'm going to tell you what's interesting. What's evidenced in Scripture and evidenced in your heart and what's centered in his love and what's anchored in his truth, it does something for you that is profound and powerful, and it drives you towards what he wants to accomplish through you. Now, watch this carefully. If I don't think all things work together for good, then what am I going to do? I'm going to be mad at God. I'm going to be mad at people. I'm going to be overwhelmed by circumstances. My challenges are going to be too big. And ultimately, every day I'm going to get up with an attitude that's not becoming of who he wanted me to be, because I chose to let my identity rest more in my challenges than in Christ. And so what he does here, he says, you got to come to a place where you don't let all this stuff happen, because in verses 26 and 27, he says, I'm here, the Spirit is interceding for you, speaking, groaning in ways you can't even identify in words. And what that does is that all of a sudden, it comes to a place where you start understanding that this promise, it leads you to God's faithfulness. Because what he says here is, he's faithful enough to make everything work together for good, and all you got to do is surrender yourself to the goodness of God and watch him as you choose to love him. And when he calls, you answer. And when you answer, you ask the simple question, Lord, what is your purpose for my life? What do you want to do through me? What do you want to accomplish in me? How do you want to speak to me? And what happens is, all of a sudden, you start aligning your life with his purpose. And watch this carefully. His purpose is not vague. His purpose is defined. Because his purpose, watch this, the steps of the righteous are ordered by God, which means it's something. He knows every step we're supposed to take. He knows every part of our journey. And listen carefully. If you are blinded by a circumstance, confused by a situation, overwhelmed by an emotion, if you are facing something you never thought you'd face, if you heard something you never thought you'd hear, you are working through all that, stop for a minute and ask yourself, can I believe his promise enough that all things will work together for good? Because listen, it is the marching order for life in this day. Because life in this day throws lots of challenges at us, lots of circumstances, lots of issues, lots of things that we don't enjoy. They come at us. And what we have to do is we have to learn this principle. Because if we understand his promise, we'll experience his power. If we understand what it is he's saying to us, then we will understand what he wants to do through us. Because what happens is, watch this, when his promise is internalized, and it is internalized in a way that I get to experience the power of it working in my life. Listen, you can set aside 95% of your challenges in one verse, one promise, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I want you to imagine for a moment you're in church today and you're processing life. You're processing challenges you face. You're processing things, trying to find an answer to those things. You're working through, what do they mean to me? And this challenge seems to be overwhelming to you. And you start working through that challenge, and all of a sudden, it hits you. Wait a minute. My focus is on me. My focus is on what I think. What if God wants you to focus on what he thinks? What if all of a sudden you surrendered yourself to something bigger than you are? What if you just said, you know what? This math has never worked. I've constantly tried to figure this out on my own. This financial problem, this spiritual problem, this emotional problem, all these challenges, I've constantly thought, I'm going to arrive at a place where I find the answer to this challenge, and the answer to this challenge is going to be so wonderful because I figured it out on my own. No, you won't. What will happen is it'll get more complex, more perplexing, more overwhelming, and eventually you'll go, you know what, I give up. I mean, I read the story this week of a 30-year-old pastor in California. Successful, and a part of a giant mega church, killed himself. And as I read his story, and I read the choice made there, I began to think about Romans 8:28. How important it is that you and I don't let anything we ever face in life push us to think that we actually control the destiny of our eternal soul. Because listen carefully, what God wants for each one of us is to live for Him. Because if you live for Him when you do die, you will be experiencing everything He has for your life. But this young man, he's 30 years old, left behind a wife and two kids. And no doubt, he had confessed a personal faith. He had a dynamic relationship that was centered in Jesus. But what happened was he began to process his problems in the darkness of depression. And what I want you to see today is this. You can claim His name and still allow your mind to go places God never intended for it to go. And watch this. When you choose to walk in darkness, the further you go down the stairs, and just by way of counseling, just by way of teaching, just so you'll know, depression is like a spiral staircase. The further you step down, the darker it is. The darker it is, the less you see. The less you see, the less you hear. The less you hear, the harder it is to know which way to go. And eventually, it is so dark, whether you're going up or down those stairs, that all you do is see darkness. And what I want to challenge you today to think about is this. No matter how big your challenge is, don't allow your earthly life to be cut short because of a choice you make. And the sad part of that story is that they grieve now with no words. And in fact, in Romans chapter 8, where it says these groanings that cannot be uttered, that is what the Spirit of the Lord is doing on behalf of that wife, those children, that church, those folks who had met Him and encountered Him. And don't hear me saying anything detrimental about Him. What I'm saying is the tragic circumstances that drove Him to that choice. How much I wish someone had been able to speak into Him the goodness of God, the choice to love God, that all things could work together for good, that they would just stop and center themselves in Him. And so today, as you think about that, that's an extreme example of what happens when a challenge is taken on ourselves. And when you take that challenge on, you make yourself God. And listen carefully. No challenge coming before you, no weapon formed against you can prosper. That is the choice of anyone who's God's children. You just choose to let Him be the author and finisher of your faith. Final question is this. Will you trust beyond your challenge? And I don't in any way pretend to think there's someone here who is just as challenged as what that young pastor was in California. But I do know this. You could be challenged by things that you don't do the math on very well. When you add it all up, it all adds up negative. It all adds up not working. You may have a story of brokenness. You may have broken relationships. You may have broken heart. You may have broken spirit. All that drives you back to Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's what brings us to this table. It's an opportunity for us to experience God at work in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for these moments we have to commune together. I pray You bless this time. I pray You speak to hearts, speak to lives. I pray for every person here that they would encounter You in a new and vivid and amazing way. May they internalize Romans 8:28 in a way they never have before. And I pray You bless and speak to hearts in a fantastic way as we surrender ourselves to You for these moments, where we ask it in Christ's name, amen.